Hi, and welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And this is ostensibly an advice podcast, and one that we can't seem to start without coughing.
Yeah, we're all adults.
I was giggling. Fine until I heard Claire snigger, and then I was like, I lost it.
Oh, sorry, the
there was the
word?
Weight of unlaughed laughter in the air. I can just feel it.
It's going to be a good one then. I'll be cutting out a lot of us talking over the top of each other and giggling and snorting. Yes. No, it's good. You guys have cheered me up. I had a very angry morning, so I'm very happy now.
Well, good. That's what we're here for. Ostensibly.
Angry mornings.
And not to make it worse.
Spread it around. I had an interesting week.
Yeah.
And oh, I went to a conference.
The schedule
weekend.
Says chitter chatter and catch up for the week.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's what we need to do. So I'm going to start us off. Yeah, I went to Conflux, which is the Canberra Speculative Fiction Conference, which is a home for people like me. It's very, very nice. I do recommend it if anyone is ever in Canberra, which you probably wouldn't be for any reason other than going to this conference.
So she really recommends Canberra. It if you're Australian.
Yeah. If you're Australian and Canberra isn't, you know, stupidly far away from you, like
boob.
It is from everywhere except for, what? You,
sorry.
You were talking about your boobs earlier.
Sorry, there's a weird bit of skin. Anyways.
Anyway, Conflux.
Yeah. I'm not recording naked. No. Yeah, because Canberra is just, did you guys know about Canberra at all? Like, it's the capital city of Australia, right?
The literal only thing I know about it is that there's a Navy base there, or at least some U.S. military installation.
That's
yeah, there's,
more
there's
than
a
I
lot
know.
Of because it's like the equivalent of Washington in the U.S.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
got all the federal stuff is housed in Canberra.
Yeah.
But because it's like, because there was a big fight about whether or not Sydney or Canberra would be the capital of Australia, a bit like they had problems with, I don't know. I only know this part of your history from Hamilton, so please correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, the New York versus DC debate.
Yeah. But this was between Sydney and Melbourne, and instead of giving it to Melbourne, which is what I think happened with the New York DC debate, they made a new city because we couldn't decide. So they made a new city approximately halfway between the two, although it's closer to Sydney than it is to Melbourne. And they made a new state, which is ACT, Australian Capital Territory.
I'm sure that somewhere in the negotiations for the US capital, Hamilton suggested, why don't we just make a new city?
Yeah, and us being innovators and not just, you know, feckless criminals the way everyone thought we did, we just made a new state. But the thing is that it's right in the middle of New South Wales, so it's like a little nipple on the breast that is New South Wales. surrounded by water. So, anyway, yeah, I don't know why I was talking about how Canberra, but Canberra was made specifically just to be a political city, so it was built with a parliament house, and it's basically just where all of the public servants go to live. And so it's a very strange place. But it does have a very, very vibrant and lovely speculative fiction creative scene, because I think they have to do that, otherwise they go nuts.
Yeah,
it's a
I was
very strange
say, I don't
place.
Think there's like much else there. I kind of imagine it like
place.
This big sprawling desert of nothing, and then like
buildings. It's very like that. it's very flat, and there's a lot of sheep.
Almost like Roswell here.
It's not deserty though. It's still in the green zone. It's still in the green zone of Australia, so it's still got, you know, trees and shit. It's not like the Nullarbor, but yeah, it's a very weird city because it was built specifically for a purpose, and I always find cities that have been built specifically like that to
planned
be quite
communities.
Strange, yes. It's a bit like a gated community. It is,
yeah.
And so
those are all the rage here.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend who lives in Phoenix, she was weirded out by the fact that my hometown is, you know, a normal, in my mind, a normal city with, like, you know, that was built up over time. And she's like, your roads aren't on a grid. It's like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, your
like...
entire big fucking city is a grid.
We lived here first and then decided maybe we should try somewhere.
Yeah, I find that really, because I live in an old city as well, because it's just, well, old compared to, you know, everywhere else in Australia. So the cities are not made on a grid, and also because we're in a harbour and there's rivers and shit, so they had to be a bit more creative about that. But when you get out to the suburbs of Sydney, it becomes grid-like again because it's flat and there's space and they built it to a purpose. So it's interesting. It's interesting. Cities are fascinating things. How was your week, guys? Tell me about your week.
Well, I apparently have a problem where I don't do enough because I said I wasn't going to do any shows this semester.
Uh-huh. I know you were just aching to fill time.
I was too. Like everybody else had their shows going on because there's always like two or three shows in flux at the same time. And I saw like two stage managers running around doing stage manager things for their various shows. And I was like, and then the production manager calls me. He's like, hey, Brandon, would you like to do this show? And it's, and it's like a dance show. I love doing dance shows because there's just this special sort of chaos to them because it's not as concrete. You can't plan everything to the script the way you can in a play. Yeah. You have to like kind of plan it to the dancer.
Yeah.
And just pray and the music cues the same thing every time. And at first I told him no. I was like, no, I'm not doing any shows this semester. And then we had an advising meeting the next morning because he's also my senior advisor. And I showed up and I was like, well, if you can't find anybody else, he's like, I can't find anybody else. So I ended up going to the production meeting that day.
There you go.
My school advisor saw me. She's like, are you stage managing? So here we are.
All of the time. So much time.
So much time.
When are we going to get to do our Patreon episode if you keep taking shows and stuff?
I don't know. This one's only 2 weeks, though. It's like the ideal situation. Oh, I just like stroll into tech, learn everything on the fly, run the show, and we're done. Yeah. So we'll get on that. We'll get on it.
Yeah. What about you, Claire? How's your week?
I've been trying to restructure my life again after being sick.
I swear
to God, every time I get into a really good routine for exercising and everything, I get really sick or something else happens and it just kills it. So yeah. I've been trying to get back into that routine. And it's not helped by the fact that since I was sick, I wasn't really doing anything, moving or anything, and I was eating like crap, which I think has had a cascade effect and is fucking up my sleep again. So even medicated, I wake up after a couple of hours.
She says yawning.
Yeah. Like I got up last night and I was like, all right, I'm not going to do anything to wake myself up more. I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm not even going to turn on the light in the bathroom. I'm just going to fumble around because it's so dark in there without the light on. And I was like, whatever, I'll be fine.
Oh my God.
And then I'm like laying in bed for an hour again after. And I was just like, nope, I give up. I just started going online.
Have you heard, I think we might have talked about this before, maybe Brandon and I have talked about it online back in the dark ages when we were on Formspring, but have you heard about why pirates wear eye patches?
No.
So they can sleep with one eye open? I don't know. No.
No, this is actually really fascinating. It's because the hold of the ship is always really dark, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no windows and stuff. Because if you have windows, you sink.
Oh.
But the deck is obviously in bright sunlight, so they have an eye patch on, so that one eye is always adjusted to the dark.
Yes.
So they just go down and flip the eye patch up, and they can see.
Yeah. As soon as you said dark, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. I'm gonna start wearing.
Yeah,
that
it's fascinating. But when I heard, yeah, do it. Because when I heard about it, because when I used to get up to go to the toilet, and like sometimes you need to find stuff, so I would just shut one eye, so I could do the toilet stuff and then get back to bed without
dying.
Yeah,
I mean, my eyes can adjust pretty easily to the dark. It's just there's one very, very small window in there and we have no street lights or anything around here, so it tends to be very dark. Like, I can see enough to, like, just enough to manage my way in the bathroom, but...
Oh, man, there's so many opportunities with that. Like, Travis could leave the seat up.
Oh, yeah, Do you guys? My husband is really good about not leaving the seat up.
Travis is actually really good about that.
Yes,
yeah, every so often he won't, and so I mean that does make it worse when he forgets because then I'm so used to him not forgetting that I'm like whoop.
it's much more likely to fall in if you're used to, because I lived in a household with three women for
Right?
15 years, like more than upwards of 15. Like my dad left when I was 7 or 8, and I didn't live in a household with women I didn't live in a household with a dude or someone with a penis until I was 21, 22. So I had like 15 years of no problems. And then, I fell in a lot.
Oh,
it was not fun.
No, my husband's pretty good about it, but we did have a row once about how if he's expected to put it down after he uses it, I should put it up after I use it. And I was like, that makes no sense.
That makes
sense. Because he at least sometimes uses it.
That means it expects him to use it
next.
After you every time.
Every time. That's dumb.
Yeah. That's really dumb.
And statistically, more of the bathroom going happens with the seat down. So, I mean, it just makes sense. It's efficiency.
Especially if there's two girls and one guy.
Yeah,
or two.
It's not sexist at all.
Non-penis havers, anyway.
And the cats like to stand on it when they drink from the toilet. So. Everybody but my husband.
Oh my god, you guys, we've talked about this before too, but the fact is the water level in your toilets is so ridiculously high. I cannot believe that, like, because the image to me of a cat trying to drink from a toilet bowl is just hilarious, because it's so far, the water's so far down that the cat would literally fall in if it tried to do that. but the fact
it
that you can actually
stop the
Lucy likes to get way down in it and prop himself like just above the water. And so like, and all you see is like this little tail sticking up out of the bowl.
Yeah. I mean, it does depend on when the toilet was made. Like,
yeah.
Ours are slowly getting
lower. Yeah, ours are
I just was freaked out by the
ours in this house are pretty low, but I do remember
growing up. Oh, they were low in your house. The house I went to with you, they were lower, but all the public toilets were just like this really high water level. So I'm like,
I do think sometimes that the public ones are higher than usual just because a lot of shit goes on there.
I think
want to make sure it all goes down.
I think part of it too is that like a lot of people are really paranoid about making sound.
Yes.
Yes. Like,
but it makes more sound.
Other people hearing them in the bathroom, like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't understand. And I said I don't have a scrotum, and I don't know what it's like to have a scrotum. But I can only imagine that there are some dudes out there who really can't sit down in those toilets without an impromptu bathe,
without making an impromptu bathe
of the balls.
Man, I don't think they're that high. Or
they feel
I
like they
I
are.
Don't think anyone's in doubt enough that it's a problem. But I don't know.
I know that some are high, because I know I've, like, accidentally dipped my hand in it trying to wipe.
Yeah, it just seems like not a big enough risk, not a good enough risk to take, in my opinion. But there you go. We all know that toilets go a different way down here anyway.
I mean,
so.
I think it's also a problem of public toilets are going to be a lot cheaper usually.
Mm.
And they're newer, more expensive toilets here that are efficient enough to actually to actually work with a low enough water.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That was a long segue into toilet land.
Right down the toilet.
We're all very educated on our topics today. I have a page of notes here because I studied things. I don't know why, like, this is time I could be devoting to my schoolwork.
And this is why you're doing it, because your brain is rebelling against your obsessive need to get an A all the time.
I know. I'm telling myself this is how I'm going to be a C student, by twiddling away my time doing things like, on this day, did you know that in 1959, the dark side of the moon was seen for the first time thanks to a USSR probe named Luna 3?
I did not know that it was on this day. I knew that the dark side of the moon hadn't been seen, but I didn't realize how early it got seen.
Yeah.
That's very, I thought it would have been later than that.
Well, that
I thought
makes
it would have been
sense.
Post...
That's about when, like, the space race and, like,
yeah,
everything
yeah.
was going on between us and Russia. And speaking
I
of
was
Russia,
so relieved when you finished that story, though, because for, like, a second I thought something real wild happened that I had not heard about, where the moon had somehow turned around. I was like, how is this not bigger history news?
I had the perfect image there. You know those that dance video of the person sort of turning around halfway through a spin. Yeah. That's what the moon does. Whoa, hello. You've been waiting for this.
Also today in history, happy birthday to Vladimir Putin, who is 66.
Oh, 66. I hope he's with his
what I
want to
know is
Trump.
What did Trump get him for his birthday?
Yeah, I was gonna say. I hope they're together. Maybe he printed him off a calendar of himself without his shirt on, so they can have matching calendars or whatever.
Sexy calendar, or you know, like some text messages about the Ukraine or something. I don't know. But
I mean,
also
I'm sure we'll hear about it. He likes to talk about all the dumb shit he does.
But also, Matt Damon is 48 today. So.
Oh, Matt Damon. I love Matt Damon.
I really.
That's the best song ever.
Now you have to put a clip of it in.
Yeah. I'm fucking Matt Damon. I don't think she'd mind. That'd be fair use. We could just sing it. I am because it was a very busy week for me, we have been discussing theme songs and stuff for various bits, and I promise that before 69 I will get onto that. Before episode 69, which, as I was informed reliably by Claire and Brandon before the show starts, is in 9 weeks' time.
9 episodes from now.
Yeah.
Because I had to ask, because I'm not good at maths. No, it's hard. How long ago? How long away is that?
She had to travel all the way to Canberra and back this weekend, which is like another dimension. Yeah. So she's a little jet lagged. It's okay. Train lagged? I don't know. I don't remember.
I went on the bus. It was 3.5 hours. I quite like the bus. I used to go on the train, but
it's not bad. It takes at least that long to go up from the bus to Chicago from here, and Chicago is not far away.
It would probably take me at least that long to go from here to campus on the bus, which is all of 30 miles, 20 miles.
Yeah.
Should we take a question?
Yes. We should.
Yeah, we shall. We shall.
Let's get to the ostensible part.
To the ostensible part.
The ostensible part of the podcast.
So Tom asks, how much beard is just the right amount of beard?
Oh.
I like a pretty close shaven beard. Mm. Like, I don't like it once it starts poofing out.
Much. For me, I think poofing it depends out. On the state of the government. Like, if they're gonna start arresting people for being queer, I'd like to have my beard close by.
I think your husband qualifies as your beard in that.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're already.
I mean, let's
bearded.
Just hypothetically. Or baby bye, she's gonna need a beard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true, actually. Yeah. I have a beard inbuilt with my husband, but yeah.
I do like the close shave, though.
Yeah.
Does your husband have difficulty growing a beard,
yes.
though?
Brandon?
I thought he might.
I have like one.
I don't want to drag him online, but.
Yeah, wasn't that brought up through Facebook memories recently?
Oh, yeah.
Of his mustache.
His magnificent beard from being underway. That is actually a really good picture of him, shitty beard or not. It's a good picture.
His pride and his magnificent beard just shown through.
I would say that there's a length of beard that will feel nice to rub against, but won't leave like a rash between your thighs.
Yes.
I feel like then it needs to be a little long, because if it's too short, it's definitely
typically
more frictiony.
Yeah, none of that stubbly stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my first boyfriend in high school. It was a delightful Jewish boy, and he had what he used to jokingly call to his 11 o'clock shadow, in that he would shave. He would shave when he got up in the morning, and he'd have a beard by 11 o'clock. So my first forays into snogging were fraught with the need for lip balm because of this. So he ended up going like a goatee beard, the one that just sort of goes around the mouth and nose, and that improved matters a great deal, because it was long. The hair was long enough that I didn't have to worry anymore about that. But yeah, I'm not a fan of stubble at all. No. I don't like stubble on a man. I love it. You have to pick a side, basically, which I feel bad for saying that as a bisexual woman, but you have to pick a side.
I support my bisexual. Clean-shaven or hairy. I'm fine with stubble. It's just less pleasant experience-wise. I think it's nice to look at.
Yeah, I love the look of stubble. I like the look of
a beard and stubble and things like that. Like they
Really I mean, nice. That's like I think some people can pull off a longer beard. I still wouldn't want to get up in that, but
see, the longer ones, my grandpa and my uncle, one of my uncles always had beards when I was growing up, like big bushy on beards.
Yeah.
And they especially grew them in the winter for like ice fishing and stuff like that. So like for a long time, every time I saw a man with a big long beard, it always reminded me of that. So I couldn't even like,
yeah, I think that's part of my distaste of it is my dad's always had a big
yeah
beard.
I couldn't enjoy it aesthetically. I still can't, you know, and it's nothing personal. It's just,
yeah, I mean, I can enjoy it on a purely aesthetic level on the right guy, but like it's not anything attractive to me.
Bearded Chris Evans?
Yeah, but he always keeps it fairly close.
He keeps it
very neat.
It doesn't bush out.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen him go full on mountain man.
Yeah.
No. Well, the time when he had a moustache, that was so traumatizing. I couldn't bear it.
I was wondering if we were going to get through this discussion without bringing that up.
Yeah. No, I can't. It floats to the top of my brain.
It doesn't help that he also had the like bad like cop haircut too. Yeah. So it was just like a whole bad look.
That's
the only time.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Only time. So like, I feel like, possibly, if he had a reasonable style going on, maybe he could have pulled off a mustache at least better. But it was purposely bad.
It was actually terrible. It's the only time he's ever looked unattractive his entire life, as far as I'm concerned. And it hurts. It shouldn't happen. But yeah.
He made fun of himself, too.
Clearly, some sort of price he had to pay to the universe or something.
Even the score.
Make it fair.
But yeah, I think that too much beard. I don't actually mind a big bushy beard either. I've seen a lot of very attractive guys with big bushy beards. Specifically the big fashion for having if you shave your head and then you grow a beard.
So yeah, I think it's possible to switch where the hair is. It's just something like Brandon said. It's something that will never be good
attractive
for me,
I can't imagine like kissing full on someone in a big bushy beard. Like I'm just like, that's wrong. Like, not to like kink shame or judge anybody, but
well, I'm sure it appeals to Imogen with her furry instinct.
Oh my god.
Oh, we went there.
I have seen some truly
either make a joke about that or I had a good omens anecdote, and I chose to stay away from that.
Oh, you did.
There you go. It was a self burn. It was a self burn.
It was good too. It was good.
I have seen some truly terrible beards. One specific beard, which I will show you guys a picture of, and I won't mention who it is because he knows who he is. But yeah, it's a truly terrible beard. But at this point, it's also a case of just I now cannot imagine this guy without that beard, and I suspect if he didn't have the beard, then I would freak the fuck out. So it's just like, okay, yeah, right, okay, cool. It's a really terrible beard. The first time I saw it, I went, "What the fuck are you doing with your face?" But now, because I'm used to the person, I can't think of it without. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, I don't know what made him make that decision, but it was a series of bad ones in my
Yeah, I mean, there's always a transition period too with facial hair where I have to get used to it, even if it's a good look.
And when it goes away.
Yeah, and then you're suddenly like, what's happening?
Yeah, and then it goes away, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, if you want truly heinous, Travis had a beard that he started to grow in college, and then decided he wanted to shave it. And at least spared me He had some fun with shaving it, so he had like some mutton chops and like some other shit going on. Like he had it in stages. He shaved it and then took pictures. And luckily, I got spared most of that. I think he shaved it down to a goatee for a while, or he might have shaved it off completely. But he's gone bearded and not a lot.
I always get worried, like, when someone talks about, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm growing out a beard. Like, the next time I see them, they're going to look like the guys from ZZ Top, you know? And at that point, I think that's a little excessive. Like, how are you managing to care for that? Are you combing it daily? Are you,
yeah,
like,
I do prefer, if you're going to have a longer beard, it does definitely, you need to groom it.
More grooming.
Then it becomes the whole thing. You need extra stuff for it. Beard oil, goo, or whatever. Stuff. Yeah.
Goo.
Whatever it is you need. You gotta wash it and style it and trim it.
Braid it.
It's twisted. Yeah, and it's gross. It has really gross things in it. Like beards have got gross stuff in them.
Yeah,
you know?
They grow a certain length. It's like having pubic hair on your face. Like,
seriously.
That's the texture we're dealing with here.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I've never known a beard to be like smooth and soft. And maybe it's because I didn't know like a lot of white men with beards growing up. I don't know. Oh my god, that is the worst. I hate that look.
That doesn't even count as a beard. That's one of those horrible character creation facial hairs.
Yes!
That no one in the real world should have.
Tell him that.
Or like character creation
beard.
God, I'm gonna have to think of what that's. It's got a name. I gotta think of it so that we can at least put a picture of the hair itself up. Please.
Yeah, I don't want to put a picture. I don't want to put a picture of the person up.
Well, yeah, but I
would actually shame them. But yeah, it's a terrible beard.
So, yeah, making a running list of pictures that I'm gonna need. Beards bad.
Badbeards.com. The one beard I can't stand is the beard without the moustache. Like I can
Why
almost forgive that one
that
I showed you.
Another character creation abomination.
Yes, it's terrible. And it's just I don't get it. I mean, why would you expose your upper lip like that? It looks naked.
Gillette is telling me it's a gunslinger beard.
Gunslinger beard. Funny, I don't remember Doc Holliday having that.
Yeah, he just did the proper
way
with his big old mustache.
He does it the right way.
Yeah.
There's a right way and a wrong way, guys.
The first image that came up was from a character creator.
Of course.
Perfect.
And it wasn't even the right facial hair, but Jesus.
Yeah.
Character creator abomination.
I'm laughing so hard now.
Well, it's a perfect time to move on to this next
character creation
question,
beer.
Because
go for it.
Josh has hit us with the hard hittings. How many communions do you have to take before you eat a full Jesus?
When I read this question, I fucking died. I just died. I saw it.
So let's get through this one.
Oh no, this is even worse. It doesn't even connect.
Claire focus.
Sorry.
Is it a Catholic question?
Not have looked at pictures.
We're talking about body weight of communion wafers to Jesus.
Didn't Canada give us like a good link that had it? Because I'm not doing. There's no amount of Jesus vor that will get me to do that amount of math.
Jesus vor. Oh my god. If that isn't a thing that exists on AO3, I'm gonna be disappointed. Like, shut the whole thing down,
Brandon. That's the entire basis of the religion. Body of Christ, blood of Christ. That's not more.
Have to be a lot. Yeah. See, if you have to go to mass for daily for 550 years.
Did you look this up?
Yeah, I told you Canada had a link.
Oh, I must have missed it.
Wow.
It weighs, the communion wafer weighs only about 1/4 gram, so. The average male in biblical times was 5'1" and about 110 pounds. So that's about 50 kilograms or 50,000 grams. So it would take 200,000 wafers to make up a whole Jesus. So it would take 5.
Obviously, they need to make thicker. Obviously, they just need to make thicker wafers.
My
I mean, as people said, you also you could also drink the blood, which would add some weight. His blood in total would be 6 bottles of communion wine.
Yeah, what is that? Like, you've got to have like 5 pints or something like that. How many pints of blood do you have? It's like 5. Yeah,
for
5
liters of blood, it would be 6 bottles of wine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because they conveniently bottle the wine in liters, so that's nice.
Yeah.
They make that easy for us. And I mean, you'd have to eat a lot of wafer. You would consume more wine than wafers. You'd get there with the wine first, because the wafers are like just papery.
Yeah, so someone was saying if you add them together, it's still 161,000 wafers.
Making a little Jesus paste.
Yeah. So yeah, if you take out the amount of weight that the body weight of the wine would be, and then it would still be 161,000, which is a lot.
When you do a full Catholic wedding, that's a lot of mass.
Like.
Yeah, thankfully there's like people out there willing to do this bullshit, because I'm not.
If you do wedding mass, then you take communion, don't you? Yeah. So you could just go to a lot of weddings.
Yeah,
cut the timing down a bit.
If you go once every single day, even adding in the weight of the wine, it would still take 441 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's too much.
So yeah, you'd have to pretty much just be nonstop, like, chowing down.
chow down on Jesus.
So, yeah, chowing down on Jesus. That's the episode title, right?
Most Catholic churches have usually only one mass a day, more on weekends.
Yeah.
So yeah, the most you'd be able to do is one for the weekdays, and then...
Unless you got into like a good
I think there's
routine.
About 3 on Saturdays and Sundays, so yeah. You could do it 6 times on the weekend.
Like here, there's Saturday night mass and then 2 Sunday morning mass, one after the other.
Even the above average human's only going to eat about maybe a quarter of a Jesus in their lifetime if they went every single day. even less though, because you're not going to be able to take it until you're like, unless you're Brandon, you're not going to be able to take it until you're like, what is it, 10?
Something like that. I don't know. And then, like, you could go to Protestant churches too, but, like, they don't use.
But then it doesn't count, and they don't believe it counts.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, they don't. They just think they're doing a thing. It's only if you're Catholic if you believe it.
Symbolic. They use, like, soda crackers and stuff.
Yeah, they're just like, it's all symbolic for them.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even joking. Like,
oh, hang on a second. Stop. Confused atheist here.
Okay.
How is what the Catholics do not symbolic? Do you actually have bits of Jesus?
Oh no, that's the literal belief, Imogen, that it's transubstantiation.
So you're saying that the Protestants don't go through the transubstantiation process.
They just go through the motions. They just think it's symbolic. In my various Catholic classes, they always thought was funny because they were like, oh, they think everything's literal except for this, which is the only thing that is literal.
Which is hilarious.
I mean, I'm just like, I'm sorry, Catholic babies, but it's not.
Yeah, but you see, substance is different than matter, so you can't see it changing.
Matter is inherently evil.
Yeah.
There's a whole, divide between substance and matter. I don't even remember. It's a very long argument. I think Thomas Aquinas splits it out. But
yeah, Thomas Aquinas is like the one who is...
Thomas Aquinas is hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, Saint Augustine had set a lot of this up ahead of time, and Thomas Aquinas was kind of like...
Yeah, but like Thomas Aquinas was like, I'm going to explain everything in minute detail. So that it's so dense that every class I've ever had up to university that where we've read Thomas Aquinas, it's only like, you will read this one small passage of Thomas Aquinas. We will not make you read a chapter or something.
Yep.
You'll read this one small passage and slog through it and explain what he is talking about.
He basically did all of it as a big, like, F you to what was, like, the neo-Gnostics or something like that. I don't even remember anywhere. It's been a couple
of years. I love it when people do stuff out of spite. It's always so good. Best stuff in the world comes out of spite.
Yeah. Okay.
Have we exhausted Jesus 4?
Because Canada asks, is discussing how many communion wafers would add up to the body weight of Jesus appropriate pillow talk?
Yes, it yes. is. If you're in, I'm so mad that my computer destroyed the link. There was a Christian group that their whole thing was about... like thinking about Jesus while you're having sex, which had a whole nother layer because of course it's homophobic too. So if you're a man, you have to also imagine you're a woman having sex with Jesus.
What?
Yes. And it's like this whole divine ecstasy thing, except dialed up to 11.
Yeah. Like they take it real literal. Wow. Like they have actual suggested pillow talk for sex with Jesus.
Yep.
That's
so good. I'll find the link again.
God, can you do you get to choose how link. Jesus looks? Can you make him? Can you make, can you make, can
well,
you make him?
You
know, Chris
you
Evans.
God,
or...
But remember, as Thomas Aquinas said, you are responsible for your thoughts, even if you didn't have them on purpose.
Oh yeah.
So it's the Children of God Christian groups that actively promotes a view of sexual relationship with Jesus is desirable.
Oh my God, why do they use the word children in that?
I don't know. Yeah, it's so many layers of bad. I need to find their actual website, which is, I think you can only find via the, like, Wayback
Machine. Oh my God, this is like the Oneida group, the Oneida, whoever makes the silverware now, but the Oneida group, like, their commune from years ago that I just found out about this week. And went down this rabbit warren of investigating, like, how, because somebody on Tumblr was like, oh, they had, like, free love, and it's like, no, babies. Like, no. It was kind of like free love, unless it wasn't, and then, like, the guy who was the leader
Like
of
free
it,
love in a cult, as opposed
yeah,
to free love.
Yeah, kind of. Like, he believed that he was the only one who was pure enough, and so they would do weird things, like... older women would indoctrinate young boys into the world of sex and vice versa with men and young girls. And so, like, mm-hmm. It got very child porny and I was very uncomfortable. And by the time it fell apart, like, the leader of the Oneida group was, like, brought up on charges of statutory rape. And this is in, like, I can't remember the era, but, I mean, if they're going for statutory rape, you know it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they closed the commune and now they make silverware. So, okay. Which is like,
oh yeah, I was like, that name sounds familiar.
Yep.
Wow. I now have a desperate urge to go and see what's written on my spoons, but I'm not going to.
It was funny.
Well, hope it's not
that. Like, everybody in the commune worked, you know, like everybody worked according to their ability and this and that. It was very like forward thinking in a lot of areas until the sex stuff got involved. And they were like really big into detached parenting and stuff. Like, when you had a baby, you would put it in a communal house and they would be raised by like people who were there to take care of the babies, and you could visit your child a couple times a week, but if you grew too close or emotionally attached to the child, you weren't allowed to come see them for a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, it
yeah,
was...
Yeah, that sounds great.
It was wild, so... But now that makes it more...
Humans are fucking weird. Humans are fucking weird. Why do we live on a planet with humans, hey?
I don't know.
Why don't we live on a planet with robots?
I mean...
Canada, yeah, the whole, it comes shame. Also from, like, the churches with this having sex with Jesus group. It comes from, the church is supposed to be the bride of Christ. And they
yeah.
took it real
yeah.
literally.
They took
course,
it real literal.
According to Thomas Aquinas, if you forget to pretend you're a woman while having sex with Jesus, it's just as bad as actually
okay.
having homosexual
yep.
sex with Jesus. So...
Which is like probably doubly bad, isn't it? Because you're corrupting Jesus as well. As,
oh my God, it's just, oh, religion is wild. This is like this witchcraft class is the best class I've taken in a long time. Oh boy. Yeah, if you want to hate yourself for a little while, look up the Oneida group and then just be like, Tumblr why. There's like, oh, they were all about free love, and yeah, women had like equal standing in the society, but
yeah, I mean, Tumblr tends to
really distill
painfully simplified.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, if a prominent important figure of the community, what, like, monogamy was very frowned upon. You were supposed to like not have exclusive relationships. And if a man of means within the community approached you and was like, I want to have sex with you, you weren't really allowed to say no. Like, uh-huh. There wasn't, it was frowned upon. So, I mean, yeah, women had like equal agency, but not.
Yeah. Cause yeah, they don't know what equal means half the time, do they really?
Yeah. Anyway. What are we doing on time here? Where are we? Oh, we're good. We faffed about for like 5 minutes, so we're okay.
We faffed about for like, from what I remember, we talked about toilets for about 20 minutes. But that was comedy like gold. That. It was comedy gold.
We had lots of beautiful mouth noises before we started the show today. So
we did, yes.
Oh, yeah. This is a good, there's no male or female in Jesus Christ. So if you're with him, it doesn't matter. You can be a woman in spirit when you're having sex with him.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's fine. How can Jesus be both a human and
I like that.
Human Zona.
I mean, that's the funny thing to me is that they're hung up on whether or not the person is male or female, and it's like, if you guys were proper Christians, Jesus is supposed to be God, and God has no, like,
gender. The Trinity just, like, confuses me so much, even after all these years.
Yeah, I mean, I had an entire university class on it. Yeah, it's confusing. There's really no good.
Yeah.
Explanation for it.
Yeah.
I'm still every time Catholicism religion comes up, I think I know a little bit about it, and then I go, well, you know what? No, probably don't know enough.
It's actually more fun this way. I like getting your unbiased reactions to things.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've read the Bible, but when I read stuff that's boring, I just tune out. So I've read it. Technically, it was desperately dull. So I can't.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we're getting to stuff that's in no way in the Bible. It's just how we make sense of what's in the Bible.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there isn't a psalm about having sex with Jesus.
And a lot of the Bible was written.
You don't know. They have a lot of quotations on their website here.
Mm. Religious people are really weird because they get hung up on things like Jesus's gender and stuff like that. And I actually saw a very transphobic conversation where someone was like, well, of course God is a man because the Virgin Mary, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, do you actually think that sperm was involved in this process?
Yes. I mean,
it's so weird to me that they're willing to believe some stuff and then they get real weird about it. Like,
but that's where they draw the line, you know?
Yeah.
Like, being decent to human beings is like too much, too far.
Yeah.
Too far.
I'm reading the latest Neil Stevenson novel at the moment.
To go into the Lit Crit corner.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent.
I'm just going to text message from my husband that said, how's the great and unfailing wisdom going today? I'm like, fuck you, dude. Anyway, it's called Fall or Dodge in Hell. And it goes into religion quite a bit, and it goes into, one of the things that's really fascinating about it in the first half of the book is it goes into social media and how social media corrupts belief and corrupts logic. But I won't go into the big details of what it's about, because it's a really good book. Please do read it if you get the chance.
I love Neil Stevenson.
It's so good.
Have you read Seven Eves?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I might not have read that one, actually. That's the most recent one apart from this one, isn't it?
I think so. It's where, like, the world ends and they pick seven women to be, like, the mothers of humanity. Or something.
Oh yeah, no, I haven't read that one. It
should have been two books because the second half of the book like just isn't connected at all.
look. Funny you should say that, because he does the same thing in this one. It's like it starts off, you know, very near future and then goes buck wild about halfway through. But yes. before it goes buck wild, completely goes buck wild, they talk about it's near future, about 17 years in the future. Uh-huh. And he talks about whole areas of the world being Facebooked, which is a great verb, which I want to start using, which is basically they've been swamped with so much fake news that they are no longer capable of reason, basically.
I feel like that's already in our present.
Yeah. No, it's already happened. But in this case, a whole midsection of America has been basically declared independent and off limits. So it's called Ameristan. But yeah, but the people who come from outside there say that the place has been Facebooked.
I wish we could excise them into their own country.
I love making nouns verbs. Like, it's convenient.
It is.
It's very convenient.
Like the whole. But
anyway, that came out of the discussion of my reaction to the Bible in that, you know, how the fuck can you believe all this fake news shit? But
especially when you consider the fact that like the New Testament was written like after the fact, and so when it was put together, they chose stuff that more or less confirmed what they wanted you to believe from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And it's all just very constructed and manipulated. Yeah, basically.
I do have to do one spoiler for the book though, just because it just fascinated me and just set off all my alarm bells. But yeah, if you're intending to read it, this is not a spoiler for the plot or anything like that. It's just a little bit of flavor that these Facebook people believe that Jesus wasn't crucified. Because as an alpha male, he wouldn't have led.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's like
Jesus is a total Chad.
He's a
the idea that Jesus was a Chad is just like
so funny.
There's
to
the
me.
Episode Chad. Jesus was a total
so
Chad.
Good, yeah. No. Speaking of the I swear briefest diversion to get over. the funniest tag I will see frequently is. Like, warning for religion. It's like, guys.
guys. Warning for religion.
It's the least self-aware tag. Like, you guys do know what fandom you're writing in, right?
Right? Oh, boy. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, I'm still reading the Miriam Black series by Chuck Wendig. Mm-hmm. And I just finished the fifth book, started the sixth one. And I gotta say, the fifth one is, like, the most brutal one yet. And this is way not, like, my stuff. I don't know. Yeah. I really honestly don't know why I can't stop reading them. Like, there's problematic shit all over the place. It's gory as fuck. But it's also, like, man, he knows how to construct a wild story.
Yeah.
And she's such a trash bag. Fire of a character, and I just love her so much. Oh, this last book was just.
I love it when women are. I love it when women are trash bags.
Huh?
I love it so much. I love it when women are trash bags.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get to have women trash bags and like them. And nope. Now we've got Jessica Jones and Winona Earp and.
Yes.
Whatnot, but so yeah, I highly recommend.
I love them
if
so
you can
much.
Handle the squid.
It's always good to have. It's always good to have representation in media.
I mean, they're all white, so. Take that.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, representation for me, but not you. So we need more trash bag diversity, is what you're saying.
Yes, we need
trash bag diversity.
Brandon's working on it.
Oh yeah, if you got through the first five chapters of my new book, you're there.
I literally started the very first chapter. My first comment was that I'm glad you jumped straight in with. How much of a disaster she is.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading recently. I finally am not sick and my brain works again. I've been reading the sequel to Brandon's published book.
My published book. You can buy it.
Called The Hole in the World,
books.
Available on Amazon and Target.
I saw it on Target.com. I had a moment. My husband promised to take me into town later this week so we can go to the bookstore where they said they were gonna put it on their shelf because
yes.
Their distributor carries it, and yeah, so it's pretty exciting. So Claire gets to have a sneak peek. Mary can too. I just didn't want to like badger her with it.
No, I at some stage I will. It's just that at the moment I'm
swamped.
Basically lazy as fuck at the moment, so that's
cool. Oh yeah. I was like, first I was sick as shit. Then I was like, okay, I need to pull myself back together, and now I'm finally feeling human enough to actually
it's read just the and worst leave, time like, of year.
Thoughts.
It's the worst time of year. It's just like it hits October, and no, it hits September, and then everything starts happening and doesn't stop. Like it's just I fucking September, October, November, December are just always a blur of I don't want this anymore, and then January comes around. It's like oh thank God.
You're going to London in December, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
What are we going to do?
I'm going to London.
Are we going to record while you're in London?
I'm only there for...
time period, I think it's you'd be in a better location. Time for me, but...
Not for Brandon, no. Yeah. I'm there from a Tuesday to a following Tuesday, so it'll only be 1 week anyway. But
I thought you were going to be there like a month.
No, I wish I was. I wanted to go for longer, but...
I want to go.
Yeah.
I just... It's just so far away, and the kids... I can't really leave the kids for that long, though.
Yeah, it's about Australia far away for you.
Yeah, it's a long way away. It's further away than you are, Claire. It would take me less time to get to you than it would
get to London. Yeah, it's the opposite.
It's pretty much exactly the opposite of time here. Like, it's morning there when it's night here and vice versa, so it's...
No, it's literally, I'm 10 hours plus GMT, so 11 hours now, so it's literally the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Let's see, we got a minute for... All
right. Yeah, we've got my new segment.
Oh, your new segment. Yes. That's right.
Yes, my new segment, which will be brief, so we can probably also do a question if we've got another one.
Oh, okay.
But my new segment called, There's a Fan Fiction for That. And this week, I've discovered
because we're fancy.
I've discovered that there are four fanfics for a Absolut Vodka Greyhound commercial, which I made sure to look it up to see what it's all about, to see what inspired four fanfics in a total of about 7,000 words.
Wow.
It's out in some sort of deserty area with some robot greyhounds, and they're racing, and there's some vague kind of, I don't know, cyberpunk weird looking people cheering them on, and that's the whole commercial.
And there's fanfic for it.
And there are, I mean, there's one teen and uprated fanfic. There's a mature fanfic.
Wow.
Well, if you've got vodka involved,
You need to put the teen up there if there's alcohol consumption.
People have constructed, as far as I can tell, a rich world out of this. It's like post-apocalypse. There's one that's a dystopia.
And they're still racing greyhounds. Okay. Yeah.
One of them, I think, are the greyhounds.
I love it.
Because, one of them has a tag for humans being used as animals.
Wow.
I have seen that tag before, funnily enough, but of course.
You would have.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, three of these are all written for one person, so I can only assume this is someone who's got some good friends who's like, please, I love this commercial, write me some.
It's gotta be some kind of in joke.
Something.
There's like rare pair exchanges and stuff like that where people write things for tiny little fandoms, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone just got I can't think of what I asked for. Give me something about the Absolut commercial.
Now I want like fanfic of that one granola bar commercial where the woman's like 500 babies.
Yes. You know what? There probably is fanfic for that.
There
we should look it up.
Probably is. I will go look.
I love that commercial so much. It's my favorite commercial ever. I feel great.
I did all kinds of space crime research today, but I really want to ask this question because. So I'll save my space crime research for another day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll keep.
It's not going anywhere.
Space crime is here to stay.
It is. It's the new frontier.
If we have anything to say about it.
Canada asks, are grass Pokemon carbon neutral? And I figured that was a really good topic for today's environmental aware crowd who are definitely listening.
I feel
to
like
podcast.
They must be, because a lot of them, like Bulbasaur actively does
flower.
The words.
Leafeon yeah. doesn't eat. Leafeon photosynthesizes.
And that's the word.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bulbasaur also photosynthesizes.
Yeah, I haven't looked up other grass type Pokemon, but I can't remember why I know that. I just know that Leafeon is carbon negative.
Yeah. Nice. So I feel like a lot of them would be, even if some of them eat, like I think they'd be putting off enough
oxygen.
It's funny because Bulbasaur looks like I keep on thinking of that one realistic fan out of Bulbasaur where it's like Kaiju sized,
well,
and
in my heart,
it gives off the impression of being like a grazer of like a big dinosaur, a herbivore. But then you forget that it actually then it would be cannibalizing, wouldn't it? So it's actually probably just.
I mean, not unless it's eating other Bulbasaur.
Yeah,
because I mean, fish eat other fish, and they're not all cannibals. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some of them.
But are Pokemon? Now this is a better question. Are Pokemon made of meat?
Well, we know that
they don't eat them.
I assume
not.
It depends on the Pokemon.
We know Magikarp is not.
We know Magikarp is not nice to eat, but it doesn't mean it's not made of meat.
It's pretty much just bone and skin.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Like that's in the Pokedex.
And that's why all it can do is flop about because there's no muscle mass.
Yeah. Well, now I need to know if the other, as the mother of grass type Pokemon, I need to know.
You do.
I do.
You need to know if your children are destroying the planet.
The Wikipedia article on Bulbasaur says it enjoys soaking up the sun's rays and can survive for days without eating because of the energy of the Bulbasaur. So, like, it does eat. I assume some of the plants do eat, but also photosynthesize. So,
they're probably like
they're on a
they're
scale
like
of either carbon neutral or negative. I would think
they're like Venus flytraps, where they get some of their nutrients from protein and some of their nutrients from.
The only one I researched was Leafeon, and I had a period of Leafeon obsession. So I think Leafeon is like the underappreciated.
Ooh, then should I be flattered because you said I was Leafeon?
Yes, exactly. It was a compliment. Leafeon is the underappreciated Eevee evolution.
Man, I have like a million Eevees with the flower crowns, but since you can only use the name trick to evolve them a certain way once, and I was like, I really want a Leafeon with a flower crown.
Oh, I have a grass lure.
How do I get Leafeon with a name trick? Because I haven't got a Leafeon yet.
You have to, what is the name that you give it? I don't know, it's...
Linnea.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Which I assume is a joke about Linnaeus, who...
I didn't even think of that.
That's the only one so far that I've kind of got.
Whew.
But that's just because he was like a brother or something, and so of course I know about Linnaeus.
I feel like Bulbasaur would have, and I know we have to wrap up soon, but Bulbasaur would have to like eat to replenish after using Solar Beam.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah,
if it
that
stores
makes sense,
if it can store up that solar energy and live off of it. If
oh
it
my
uses
god,
that
Bulbasaur's
up,
like photovoltaic.
Now I just want a bunch of Bulbasaurs on my roof.
I know.
Can somehow leech energy from.
Right.
It's like, can you guys like put your little vine whips on the roof or something and
I
transfer that energy
want
to me?
Bulbasaurs. I don't care if they're on the roof.
Yeah.
Like I want to retire to an island.
They are like a good size.
A Bulbasaur
a good
ranch.
Size.
Well, yeah.
Yes, I mean, that would be a dream.
Yeah. There's a fanfic
so nice.
I want. Me retired on a Bulbasaur ranch.
That's the thing. Everyone's always like, I want to live in the Pokemon world and go on all these adventures and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, fuck that. I want, like, some Pokemon and I would just sit in my little Pokemon ranch or whatever.
I'd have all the little Bulbasaurs in their own little pen. And then, like, my Venusaurs would be out free roaming, you know.
Yeah. I only like that there was one episode of the anime, the cartoon, where... there was a film director who wanted to make a film about Pikachus.
Yes.
And all of his crew was Pikachus, and all the people who did the camera were Pikachus.
Yes.
And it was just like, there were 500,000 Pikachus. And I was just like, yeah, I'd be
that's
okay
what
with
I'm
that.
Saying. Like, I don't want to forget being a trainer or whatever. There's all these other people doing more fun things
more fun
with Pokemon.
Things.
Yeah, why are you making them fight? Make them make movies about each other.
Yeah, make movies or
let me run my fashion old home models for,
or
for.
Well, there's a whole season where one of Ash's companions.
Yeah, because there was like a Pokemon designer thing for a while. Yeah, where you dress them up.
Pokemon
designer. And like anyways, like, that sounds more fun. Whatever. Yeah. Like dress up my very cute Pokemon.
Wait, listeners out there, what is your Pokemon retirement dream? Fan fiction situation.
I want to know.
Come join me on my Venusaur ranch. It'll be fun.
Yes.
It'll be all photovoltaic.
Set you to work.
Completely.
We can have like our bisexual Venusaur ranch.
Yes. Of course, I'll have to move somewhere other than the Scottish Island for that because there's not enough sun.
Yeah, there's not enough sun for them. We have to get sun lamps for them. Have a whole growing operation going.
It's like a pot farm, but it's just Bulbasaur.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a hydroponics yep. lab with yes. big Bulbasaurs in it.
Oh my god, little cute swimming Bulbasaur.
No. Okay. So yeah, tell us your favorite Pokemon.
I think we've lost the podcast.
I'm trying to wrap us up and we just keep wandering. Tell us your Pokemon retirement plans. About your hydroponic Bulbasaur garden. You can send that to bibibicast@gmail.com.
You can also go to byebyebyecast.tumblr.com where we've got links to the Twitter, the Patreon, the Instagram, the Facebook. I think there's also, we've got the invite link to Discord and of course the main blog and everything.
And do yourself
it's all there in the store.
Subscribe to our Instagram because it's where we put all the visual links.
The Instagram's pretty fun actually. Brandon's been exercising her visual acumen and making some really cool little posts.
It's like my new.
I was very impressed that she managed to get a picture of Cate Blanchett and Richard Roxburgh in Hamlet actually.
Right.
And I had utterly forgotten that production of Hamlet that I saw had Cate Blanchett as she was not Ophelia.
Oh my god, I didn't even absorb the fact that was Cate Blanchett until you said
she wasn't Ophelia, she was the mum. Whatever the mum's name. Gertrude, I think
she was both at one point or another.
Yeah, it was a great production, but it was a tiny production back before Cate Blanchett was very famous, so I was very privileged.
She's such a baby face. What a sweetie.
Yeah, she's
anyway. Okay.
Gorgeous woman. Yes, and also rate and review us on iTunes if you like what you hear. Give us a 5-star review.
Yes, we get on a platform, we will donate $1 to Scarlatine.
Yes, and let us know because I don't have access to. Well, we don't check our reviews very often because we're not quite as self-obsessed as some people might be.
Just take a screenshot or something and send it to the email.
Yep.
Yeah, and post it to Twitter or send it to the email or send
just
it to
make
Tumblr.
Sure you tag us. Or we'll get our attention
just somehow. Give us
it's a good cause.
It is. It's for a very good cause. They're fantastic folks over at Scarlatine. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, well, where am I, Angie? I'll put it in a calendar or something. How long until 69? Like 9 weeks, obviously.
Yeah. Around 60. It's not funny hard enough. Math.
Yeah, every math is hard math. Every math.
I guess 69 is hard.
It's hard and nice.
We're off to a good start today. We've already got
doing real
after credits.
Real good, yeah.
Gag got it covered.
Robot furries and 69 robot furries. That could be the name of the episode.
That sounds like a good, like.
Awesome. We'll count us out. 3, 2, 1, and.
2. I'm so glad we hadn't stopped recording it.
I'm going to start the fucking podcast now. Professional. Hi, 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 and welcome to Bye. No, I'll have to say that again.
Okay, I'm okay now.
You can't say something as blatantly hilarious as professional. Just to laugh.